Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer alongside Adam Sparks and John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. Guys, we are continuing to progress through the football offseason, but we're sort of at a little bit of a pause point here, I guess, because the offseason kind of comes in waves. You have that stretch in the winter where you have a flurry of transfer activity, you have the recruiting surge, you have the coaching carousel, and then you sort of hit a pause here before you then enter spring practice. So while we're at this point, I thought we could offer some letter grades to Tennessee's performance throughout the offseason. And there's really, you know, there's really three pieces to what we've been through so far. There's the recruiting, there's the transfer market, and then there's staff carousel. So let's start off with recruiting. Tennessee's 2022 signing class finished ranked 16th nationally in the 24/7 sports composite. Top 20 recruiting rankings are pretty typical for Tennessee, but overall, how would you guys grade what Tennessee was able to do in recruiting?
I would give them a B in terms of letter grade. Yeah, 16 overall, that was around what Jeremy Pruitt's four classes. He averaged about a 17 in the ranking. So this is comparable to what he had. 22 is his last ranking. It was pretty good. It's probably going to need to be better if this team is going to continue to progress. I would say it's a better letter grade also for what the future is than maybe immediate needs. Now, you're not necessarily going to feel that many immediate needs, especially in the era of the portal through freshmen. But there's always some opportunities there. If I had to pick out one position that I thought they scored pretty high on, it's defensive line edge rusher. Tyree West practice, he already enrolled. James Pierce and Joshua Joseph, those last two are more edge guys. Tyree West is maybe an interior guy, but those are three, I think, good defensive linemen that's probably going to pay off really well down the road. All right, so if you ask around the program internally what they think of the recruiting class, I mean, obviously they're pretty optimistic, but they think maybe they could get some early returns out of those defensive linemen. And I certainly think that's possible. Sometimes edge rushers work out early on, but usually a little hesitant on that because I think linemen, you can't just underestimate the idea that the physicality in the SEC, it's hard to adjust quickly and give an immediate impact on the offensive or defensive line. So I think this class will pay off more down the road than it will. I would give it a B because I think there are going to be eventual returns to this class. It's pretty good under the circumstances that they had to recruit under.
John, you've seen a lot of recruiting classes over the years at Tennessee. Really, you've been here since recruiting rankings launched on the internet. So how would you assess a grade for what Tennessee was able to do in recruiting this year?
I think it compares favorably with General Nealon's first class. I remember when those
really?
Guys came in. Yeah.
Who was the linchpin of that class?
Yeah, I was very impressed. excuse me. I'd probably go a notch higher than Adam and give it a B+, mainly because I place a great deal of importance on the obstacles it had to overcome. I just when you've got an NCAA investigation hanging over your head, it's just always, it's a huge problem to deal with. You've got to explain yourself in the recruiting process. You got to tell parents, you got to tell recruits, hey, we'll be fine. But you don't know if they believe you. And you can count on the teams that are recruiting against you are going to use that. Well, you might not play in a bowl game if you go there, that's for sure. So I think there was a lot to overcome after what Jeremy Pruitt did to the program. So I give Tennessee a B+ in recruiting.
Maybe a little harsher grader than you guys. I'm going to go with a C+ from the mind of, you know, the in-state talent pool this year in 2022 was, you know, it was loaded. We've been talking about this for about a year now, how strong the depth of talent was within the state of Tennessee in 2022. And this staff, you know, for whatever reason, didn't do particularly well in you know, making inroads this year and gaining signatures from those in-state guys. And you know, I think anytime you look up at the rankings and see Kentucky and Missouri ahead of Tennessee, that's a tough pill for the Vols to swallow on recruiting. I do think what you guys are talking about, some of the challenges, you know, Heupel got started late, you know, being hired in late January. He's looking to build new connections with new coaches in terms of, you know, on the recruiting trail and what have you. And you throw in the investigation. I do think there's some asterisks there, but I just think the talent pool was so deep, you know, that this year when you have Kentucky coming across your border and snagging some of those guys, I think that's a little hard to stomach. So I'm going a little harsher there with a C plus. Maybe we get some even higher letter grades as we move on to coaching carousel, staff retention. Adam, you had in a story recently, Tennessee's the only team in the SEC as it stands right now. You know, the carousel has pretty much stopped, but you never know when someone will will find greener pastures elsewhere. But as of right now, Tennessee's the only team that hasn't lost a staff member, an assistant coach, one of their 10 assistants. So their entire staff has come out of this carousel intact. How do we grade where Tennessee landed with its coaching staff coming out of the winter?
Yeah, I think it's an easy A. Retention does not always merit an A, but it does in this case. I mean, it's better to get rid of coaches and have some turnover. That wouldn't be the case here. I mean, on the offensive side, I think it's very important to keep as much as the pieces together, because this offense looked like it was in its third or fourth year, in its first year. And so I think you have to have some retention there, and especially with the key pieces that Josh Heupel brought over from his previous stops. I mean, Glenn Ellerbe, the offensive line coach, has been with Heupel on some stops for the last 6 years. Alex Golish was with him at Central Florida, the offensive coordinator. So you've and Cody Burns was new to Josh Heupel, but I thought he did a wonderful job with the wide receivers in just taking pieces that didn't quite work before and putting them together and being able to do something with the offense. Again, in a new system, teaching it to players they had not taught it to before. So I think it was important to keep those guys retained. The defensive side, you can make a little more of an argument. Maybe they, you know, change would have helped a little bit. I just think with the pieces that they had, defense, and on Tim Banks, the defensive coordinator, got to have a little more time to show if that staff is going to work out or not. And Rodney Garner is a great piece, defensive line coach, also, you know, a really good recruiter. You've got to have him as long as you can have him. So it's an easy A, I think, because the staff was pretty successful in year one and you kept them together.
I'd go along with Adam on that. I think it warrants an A, and he's right. Staff stability has sometimes become a stagnant staff, and you don't want that. You see schools like Alabama succeeds by just flashing through different coaches every year, coordinators often, but continues to bring in high-level coaches as well, and you still got Nick Saban at the top. So it doesn't seem to affect Alabama negatively at all. But the points Adam mentioned, I'll just reiterate, I was really astounded that Tennessee was as good offensively as it was. I expected it to be much better than under the Jeremy Pruitt debacle, but nonetheless, this is a drastically different offense they're implementing, and it looked like the guys had been playing in it for quite a while. You had, in some of the key parts, all had really good seasons. Cedric Tillman kind of came out of nowhere and became a star receiver. Hendon Hooker, transferred from Virginia Tech at quarterback, became one of the top quarterbacks in the SEC. And Jabari Small, in a depleted running back core, really excelled. So the offensive line held together well despite losses. So I think it was just a tremendous transition offensively. And I thought the defensive staff did a really good job of making do with what it had. We knew going into the season that this defense lacked talent and depth, but I thought they did just about the best it could. A lot of the times it faltered. The Purdue Bowl game and the Music City Bowl was pretty horrendous. But I think overall, I still think the defensive staff did okay, given what they were left after all the attrition. So, yeah, I'd give it an A.
You know, guys, when I was in elementary school, I was a real perfectionist as a student, and I had this elementary teacher who kept giving me A's on my report card. And I thought, you know what, I've been scoring 100% on a lot of these tests. Why don't I have an A+? I thought mm-hmm. I should be getting an A+. I didn't understand that. I thought I was getting graded down. And come to find out, she just didn't give A+. which was fair enough. But as a kid, I didn't know that. I thought I was being graded down. And so I don't want to do that here. I want to give absolute top marks. And so I'm going to go a rung higher than just an A, and I'm going to get that little plus next to it. I'm giving A+ for staff retention this offseason for Tennessee. They can, if there's any perfectionists over there, if Josh Heupel's a perfectionist, he can take pride in knowing he earned that plus from me. And I do so because Alex Golish in particular, I wondered about him this offseason because Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss lost their offensive coordinator during the offseason. Jeff Lebby departed for Oklahoma. Well, Tennessee and Ole Miss pretty much run the same system. By and large, they're doing the same thing out there. Obviously, Alex Golish would be a plug-in coach guy for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss to be their offensive coordinator. And so, you know, I believe there was some interest there from Ole Miss and Alex Golish, and Alex Golish remains at Tennessee, and Ole Miss went with somebody else. So I think, you know, top marks for Tennessee retaining the guys they have. And I'll add one other thing. We didn't see anybody get any lifetime contract extensions either. Like, you know, it was great that Tennessee was able to retain everybody, but they didn't get crazy to do so. Like, they didn't say, like, well, you know, we went 7-6 this year. Let's sign all these guys to 5-year deals. The old Jeremy Pruitt move, give him a 2-year contract extension and a raise and then fire him 4 months later. Not that I think these guys are going to be fired, but still, you don't need to be giving unnecessary contract extensions 1 year into the tenure. So they kept everybody without so far breaking the bank to do so. So I think that's about as well as you could do it in the coaching carousel. Final stop here on the offseason circuit, the transfer market, which has maybe become, if not more important than recruiting and staff retention. I think it ranks right up there, you know, alongside it. And we've seen some schools like Ole Miss, like South Carolina, add a bunch of transfers. We've seen others like Alabama maybe not add the abundance of transfers, but they have, you know, picked up a really, you know, some high caliber players, a couple key pieces. Tennessee, meanwhile, is very quiet in the transfer market. They didn't lose a ton. I mean, they lost some guys, some bodies toward the end of the depth chart, but really the main guy that they lost was Tyon Evans, their running back. And then they brought in basically one guy, a backup offensive lineman from Florida, Gerald Mincy. So with all this flurry of activity out there, Tennessee was pretty quiet. How do you grade, you know, a largely quiet period in the transfer portal, both in terms of player exits and player entries?
Yeah, I would give them, I'd give Tennessee a D in terms of their portal letter grade. You know, Mincy may end up being a guy that, you know, plays better than maybe what we think he's gonna do. I mean, he could be in contention for the starting right tackle job in the spring. We'll see how that works out. But it looks like he's probably a depth guy on the offensive line. They too swing other guys. Their main two targets in the portal were Isaiah Nair, the wide receiver from Wyoming. They had him, and then he flipped to Texas at the last minute, a guy from Fort Worth. So I guess that makes a little sense. Don't know if NIL money came into play there, but they missed out on him. And then Jared Verse, the edge rusher from Albany, Tennessee had a good shot at him. He ended up going to Florida State. 0-for-2 on those two guys. And they did, you know, a consolation prize. They did get Mincy for depth in the offensive line. So I'd give him a D. Now, anybody wants to do them on that, my grades were A, B, and D. And that's a 2.7 GPA. That's a C+. I'm going to bump Tennessee's offseason grade up to a B overall for creativity, for extra credit for creativity, because they got Navy Schuler, the quarterback from App State, as he's Schuler's son. They got Charlie Browder from UCF, tight end. They got Jackson Hanna from Nebraska. All three of those guys were guys of scholarship at their former school and were brought in as walk-ons, as preferred walk-ons. So you're adding pieces that don't cost you scholarships. I believe they're self-imposing scholarship cuts coming season. And so anything you can do to alleviate that pressure on your roster, you need to do it, and they have. And even beyond that, in recruiting, they got some preferred walk-ons in Derek Taylor from Greenbrier. They got Shannon Blair from Knox West. Those are guys that were 3-star recruits. They got offers from from Power Five and Group of Five schools, FBS schools. And so you're bringing in guys that some years would have been on scholarship, but you were able to bring them in off scholarship as walk-ons to sort of help that roster crunch that you have. So D for transfer portal, B for overall because of the creativity they showed.
I'll again follow Adam's lead and go with the D. I wasn't a big fan of Florida's offensive line last season, so bringing in Gerald Mincy from there, I don't see what positive impact that could have. So losing Ty and Evans, Jabari Small did a nice job. Ty and Evans, well, I won't go into all the backstory there, but I think it was significant, though. I would give it probably, instead of a D, maybe I'd just give it a D plus.
Boy, you're a little kinder than maybe the rest of us, John.
I think part of that comes from being older and experiencing more things and going through hard times, and just maybe there's a little more humanity about me. Maybe I care a little more, and I realize the difficulties and challenges people face every day. And so maybe I do grade a little easier, but I'm not apologizing for that. When I was your age, I would have probably given Tennessee an F in the transfer portal. But I think it's significant that Tennessee didn't lose anybody other than Tyon Evans, who might not even have been eligible if he stayed at Tennessee. But think about this. Georgia wide receiver Jermaine Burton, a starter on a national championship team, transferred to Alabama so he could play. I assume his reason was to play with Bryce Young, a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, and he thought, well, my numbers will go up. He can make passes that Stetson Bennett can't make, so I'll go play with Bryce Young. What if Cedric Tillman had chosen to do that? Well, he said, I want to win a national championship. He's not going to win one at Tennessee. I'd have a higher profile senior season if I went over to Alabama. I'd be playing for in all the big games, but he didn't. He stayed at Tennessee, where he flourished last year under Josh Heupel's offense and with Hendon Hooker at quarterback. So I think it's significant that Tennessee didn't lose anybody. What if Hendon Hooker had said, you know what? I want to play for a championship. I'm going to Oklahoma. They lost Spencer Rattler and they lost Caleb Williams. I'll go start for Oklahoma. I take him over Dylan Gabriel at UCF. So I give him a little credit for that, hence the plus alongside the D.
Okay, John, your off-season's grades average to about like a C-plus, B-minus, E range. Are you awarding any extra credit like Adam is there? Or are you coming down with a C-plus or B-minus here for an overall off-season grade?
No, I haven't mellowed that much. I mean, extra. I don't go with the – you know, extra point stuff. I mean, come on, you know, like, hey, I've got a C. Can I hand in a theme now? I'll write it tonight and turn it in tomorrow and you'll give me a B. No, I don't go with that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to grade a little harsher on the transfer portal here. I was generous with that A plus in staff retention. I'm going to swing the other way on the transfer portal and go all the way down to a D minus because, you know, I know Tennessee, Josh Heupel has said he's going to be really selective in the portal, and the implication there, I think, as Adam has interpreted for us, is that, you know, Tennessee's being tight with its roster with the idea that it's probably going to self-impose some roster restrictions for next season. But what I would say is, you know, Tennessee signed 14 three-star recruits in this recruiting class. I'd rather maybe trim off some of those into the recruiting class guys and leave more spots open then for transfers. I think some of those transfers can help you more than what a developmental, you know, he's never going to see the field for like 3 years recruit would. So I would say, yeah, I think there could have been some more clever ways they could have tried to add more transfers. And despite the fact that they didn't lose much in the portal and by way of starters, I think they lost more than they gained. I'd rather have if Tyon Evans could be on the field, I'd rather have Tyon Evans than a backup lineman from Florida. And you also lost some into the depth chart bodies. Some of them were no real great loss, but overall Tennessee didn't gain much in the portal. So going with D minus.
Did you guys notice that almost everything that we said, we sort of graded on a curve a little bit based on, I mean, We talk about roster cuts. Well, they didn't get these guys, but they really couldn't because they didn't have that many scholarships available. And, you know, recruiting was difficult because he got hired late. He had to recruit against the NCAA investigation, the cloud over that. And all these make sense. All these things are fair, I think. But everything in the first year that Josh Heupel has been graded on has been the cloud of the NCAA investigation and all the branches that come off of that. And I do think that's a valid reason. I think in year two, it'd be interesting to see if that morphs into, you know, if that curve is taken away and what was a reason is then is an excuse. I don't think it necessarily will be, but I think we are going to judge year two a little differently than year one based on what the NCAA comes back and what these scholarships mean.
I think what we're doing is what I criticize coaches for doing. We're making excuses. I also think, Blake, if you're going to give somebody a D minus, I can't remember anybody ever getting a D minus when I was in school. Just give them an F.
Well, they gave D minuses when I was in school, John.
Oh,
back
not a plus.
I mean, did you go to like a one room schoolhouse that had kindergarten through the sixth grade, and they just gave you pass or fail? I mean, what was the school situation down there in Clinton, Louisiana?
Well, it was a small school,
one room.
Of course, one room school, and you know, the tough part was really getting there because I had to walk through snow for about 3 miles. I know snow is not common in Louisiana, but it just kind of hung on the ground. We didn't have any snow removal stuff. So I walked through that every day to that one room school. Didn't have air conditioning either. Didn't have heat. And I still made A's. So I'm proud of that. I mean, you can make fun of my age. That will show up later in my age discrimination suit against the company. We'll include you as well and some other colleagues. But, yeah, I'm proud of what I did under those circumstances.
What were the mosquitoes like there in that? I'm just envisioning probably pretty thick.
Okay, imagine a rat with wings. Okay? I mean, those things swoop down on you, and some of them would mix in with the flying roaches. And so you didn't even realize they were there until they were right on you, and then they zap you. I used to have horrible whelps. I was really sensitive to mosquito bites. Fortunately, my next-door neighbor, Letty Bennett, was the most sensitive person I've ever known. So when I was outside, I kind of wanted Letty around because they would attack her.
So one-room schoolhouse and walking through the woods, was this a Little House on the Prairie episode? Was that your life, John?
Yeah, well, a lot of them kind of hung back, you know.
Boom, and then if on the school a kid class canceled, is that how it went?
Yeah, it was tough, but I think it helped shape my character.
You got plenty of that, John, and we're glad that you use it here to help our podcast. And we thank you for listening to this installment of the Volunteer State.